We are Cisco, where we're putting the spotlight on shared perspectives, dialogue, and culture.
So you have colorful hair? Don't care. Tattoos?
Show off your ink. Got a unique style? That's cool. Are you a pop culture geek?
Many of us are. So we invite you to join in on real discussions with real stories.
And learn what it really means to be a Cisconian.
Welcome to the conversation.
Welcome back to another episode of the We Are Cisco podcast. Of course, you have your ever loyal, ever present host, Javier.
I'm back. I'm always here and always ready.
And of course, Madison. And today we have a very exciting conversation. I feel like I say that every time, but every time we do these conversations, they are exciting. So I'm super excited to welcome Annie to our conversation today. Annie, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, so I'm Annie Hardy. I began at Cisco in 2019, right before the pandemic. So the majority of my year and a half here has been pandemic Cisco, rather than just normal corporate Cisco. So I'm happy to be on the podcast.
Yes. Well, I would like to think that pandemic Cisco is pretty close to maybe normal Cisco just because we have such great technology. But hopefully your short experience has been nothing but amazing. And I think we should just kick it off, jump right into it, because Annie, you have a ton of coolness, uniqueness, technology, passion, just like jammed into you. So I'm so excited to get into it. Javier, what do you say? Let's just go for it.
Let's go for it. I mean, let's bring the virtual, it's hybrid, right? We want to make this feel like a real conversation, like we're in the real room. So let's bring that energy in here. So let's get started.
I'm in. Let's do this.
Awesome, Annie. So like you said, you've been here for a short time, but I feel like you do a lot of really, really cool stuff. So our episode today is going to be focused on kind of a passion project of yours. But why don't you just share a little snippet about what your day-to-day is at Cisco?
Okay, rock on. So I was hired in December of 2019 because Cisco knows what they know and they know what they do well, but they're really, really innovating a lot and future focused. And so they're pulling in people to help them look at the future in all kinds of ways. And so inside Cisco, I am establishing a practice called visioneering that's focused on the next 5 years of human-machine interaction. And what that means is that we are looking for all of the ways that technology and any of the external factors are going to impact the way that Cisco interacts with humans. And then we reverse engineer that into projects and pilots that we can do internally. So we think about things like NLP and NLG. We think about voice. We think about avatars. And then we also think about things like human augmentation relative to augmented reality, the spatial web, a lot of AI. We think about the future of work and higher education. We are building, and for the past year and a half, we've been carving out these spaces where Cisco is truly going to deliver on extraordinary experiences rather than just experiences. So I get to focus on the extraordinary part, the art of the possible part. All that to say that I started in almost like a social work role in community relations and Medicaid when I graduated from college. And then from there, I stepped into marketing, and then I stepped into entrepreneurship. So before I worked at Cisco, I owned and ran a company called Zeet Insights for about 4.5 years, doing technology design and market research for technology companies. And so coming here, I have that view. But when we talk about Chickenomics, I also have a view of people, like a human-centered view. So looking at technology, looking at finance from a human perspective is something I'm really passionate about. That's kind of the end-to-end how I got to where I am at Cisco and why, you know, this background starting with like vulnerable populations and what people need to understand foundationally about money, preserving it, controlling it, and growing it. All of those are, it's kind of the entirety of my background story.
Which is so cool. We'll definitely have to come back to a future episode around what that visionaire job is like. I feel like there's so much tucked into that, but you're exactly right. Today, we were talking about Chickenomics, and obviously we can tell that you have so much passion in your work that you do, but I think it's such a cool story about how Chickenomics came to be and how they've evolved. So you mentioned kind of a little bit about personal finance. What is Chickenomics? Can you share with our audience?
Absolutely. So Chickenomics is an experiment. What it started at was completely, utterly selfish desire for me to actually connect with people and talk about money. So I'm passionate about money. It's something that I just started to really learn about and control. And it's something that women like myself, we don't necessarily come from a culture of openness and vulnerability and talking about money. It's just not something that we do. And so we have webinar after webinar, and Cisco really wants to equip us with information, and you have books that people read and podcasts. And the fact is that I ain't nobody got time for that. I just needed to talk really honestly. I just needed to talk with some people about money and ask them their advice and share where I was. And so I posted on the Women of Cisco group. I said, hey, I can't go to this webinar. I just want to talk about money with some women. Does anybody else want to go? And I got 75 hand raisers. In 24 hours, we had 200 people. Within 90 days, we just last week reached 1,000 people. And it is a group on WebEx where we have WebEx chat room. We're completely inclusive and diverse group of people talk about finances in a vulnerable way, in a transparent way. We focus on three different pieces of the financial puzzle. The first is how to control money. The second is how to save money. And the third is how to grow your wealth. And so as we're looking at all of these pieces, it started as like, hey, I just want to talk about money with some people. And then what happened was that the number of people and the stories that we had in that group of why people were there and where they were made it a mission. So I'll give you an example. When it first started, I said, hey, everybody, introduce yourselves. And we came on and people started talking about how they were raised in environments and they really, their parents didn't know how to invest and save. People who were, you know, in their 40s and just getting started in retirement. People who were early career and, you know, didn't know how to budget. And then we had one person who said, you know, I just, you know, got out of an abusive marriage 10 months ago and I'm just getting started again. That was a moment. Yeah, right?
Wow.
Finances are personal. And that, honestly, that was a turning point where I said, okay, this can't just be a random thing where like I ask my questions. This is something where the Cisco community globally has a very serious need that is missional. And I need to take it seriously. So this was the moment where I said, okay, I'm going to think about this less like a random Teams room. And I do moderate another one of those. And I'm going to think about this more like a movement. And so what happened was that I asked for hand raisers. I asked for volunteers. Right now I have a team of, I think, 20 volunteers helping us with everything from event planning and coordination, because we have live events. I've got people building and writing content strategy. We're launching a SharePoint page. We're focusing on automation. So we have an entire tech team committed to automation. Today, we have our first book club meeting because we started a book club and someone volunteered to take that on. And then we have volunteers who actually do the live events. So yesterday, we had an event with one of our colleagues, Darren, who talked about how do you get started, foundational information. We've talked about crypto. We've had an event there, talked about stocks. And we try to be very responsive. So if everybody's talking about crypto, what we did was we said, okay, let's do a crypto event. And then we got somebody to lead it. Everybody was talking about employee stock purchase program. And I'm like, hey, does somebody want to lead a conversation about that? So the idea is very much member-led, responsive, missional, vulnerable, transparent, authentic conversations about this one big thing that burdens us all, which is money. And the goal is to equip and empower, and ultimately for all of our members to grow generational wealth and to be able to retire on time, retire early, pay for college, buy a house, whatever their goals are. It's really been remarkable. And it has been a missional endeavor and passion project.
Wow. And that's a great thing that you're building the space of this openness and transparency and authenticity to talk about these things, right? Because, you know, you mentioned that example earlier. I think personal finance bleeds into a lot of other topics as well, such as relationships and marital issues and things like that. How do you begin to discuss or have these types of conversations with folks, you know, especially when you're first kind of getting started, right? What was that like as you started growing this group?
Well, there are a couple of things. One of the things was that I saw this as, and I talk about it as experiment. So WebEx actually has some pretty tremendous features. And as we look at engaging people and having conversations and the future of work being remote, I really wanted to test some things so I could figure out how we could leverage technology and leverage these tools we have to make it a more personalized or customized experience. And so the first thing I did was I listened. I said, hey, tell me why you're here. You know, introduce yourself. And so for the first like 150 people, they actually talked about why they were there, what they were struggling with, what, you know, they were passionate about. And then I ran a survey. I've run a couple of polls with the poll bot feature that WebEx has, just asking people, you know, where are you? How do you feel? Why are you here? What are you interested in? And then a lot of listening as far as the conversation. So being responsive there. But the way I got started was I asked people to say what they were interested in. I was like, introduce yourself. And there was a tremendous amount of interest in everything all across the board, from budgeting and raising and paying off debt. A lot of people interested in paying off debt, to people who were talking about stock investing, crypto, and investing in saving for retirement. And it gave me insight into where people were. And that's how the conversation started. And we do a question of the day where, frankly, I just listen to what people are doing. And sometimes it's responsive. Sometimes it's my own curiosity, because again, I have questions myself. And so I'm like, oh, hey, I was talking about this with my husband this week. Or my daughter sponsored a question 2 weeks ago. I was like, baby, what question do you have for people? She was like, this is it. So I come up with them from everywhere. But it started as this thing where I listened to what people wanted and really built a question strategy around that, moderate the conversation, facilitate it, but then it takes a life of its own.
Today's podcast is brought to you by the Krakow Software Engineering Hub. In Krakow and all over the globe, Cisconians are proud to be awarded World's Best Workplace for 2020.
I know I'm a member of the space and I couldn't even tell you how I found it. I just stumbled upon it one day. And I think the fact that it's so real and so accepting is really, really helpful to the success of the space. I think money is a difficult conversation for many people. It holds a lot of stressors. And the fact that people can put their questions out there or share their experiences, you know, like, this is what I did, take it with a grain of salt. I just think that it makes it more personal. And Cisco has so many great resources. Like you mentioned, the employee stock program, 401k, different elements like that. It's almost kind of overwhelming, especially for someone who might be earlier in career or just starting out. So it's really nice to hear how other employees are utilizing the same assets that I have, that we have, and maybe realize that there's a second life or there's a different way to be utilizing these things that can benefit them. So I just love that not only do you have those daily questions, but any member can ask a question. And I've never once asked a question and received any negative comments. It's only been positive. And I feel like that's not necessarily a unique thing to this space, but that's a very special thing. Like, everyone is so supportive and so encouraging. And I feel like that's like a very key part of this group and this conversation.
Yeah. One of the things was that when we were looking into, Cisco has employee resource organizations, right? We have one that's Cisco Black Professionals, one that's Women of Cisco, Women in Finance. There's one that is kind of an investor network. And they said, do you want to be associated with the investor network? And I said, I think what's really important to recognize is that relationship in vulnerability and finance, and looking at that and then looking at stock picks, those are different things. They're not mutually exclusive, but at the same time, if we want to foster that authenticity and vulnerability, I feel like it's like its own animal. Well, I love to ask people, I'm like, so what have you done? Have you made, you know, choices or made changes? And what have you, you know, found really helpful? And a lot of people are making financial changes. But the two examples I have that are my favorite examples, rather than just people saving money or moving money, one of them was a woman that said, I was able to have a conversation with my partner about money in a really transparent way for the first time. Another conversation was someone who sent me we had a salary negotiation panel, which was very important to me, because when we're talking about equity, I wanted to do this panel so badly, because we need for people to ask for more money, especially people of color and women and people in the LGBTQIA plus community, because then that's when they get it. They have to ask. And so I had somebody who reached out to me and said, after the panel, I finally felt confident enough to talk about my worth and ask for more money. And she got a double digit salary increase. And she didn't say it was that I understood more how to ask. She said, I finally felt confident. So the emotions that are tied into these financial questions enable Cisco to educate and inform. We're looking at diversity across the socioeconomic places that people come. We're fostering that. We're growing them. We're giving them satisfaction. We're helping them feel better. It supplements all of the other tools and resources Cisco does. And I don't know if you can tell, I'm a bit of a Cisco fangirl. I'll be perfectly honest. I love Cisco. And I didn't know until I joined Cisco how awesome it was. It does do a lot. But to your point, Madison, they have so much stuff everywhere. It's so hard to navigate. It's almost overwhelming, the amount of information that's in the room, though.
Yes, it's a goldmine, you know, yeah. From people talking about rentals for secondary income to, like you said, paying off debt. It's just a library of really, really good information.
Funny enough, I just started talking about personal finance and really getting into that. So, man, I need to start exploring some more of these resources. Like you said, it's like you're getting lost on a luxury cruise ship. There's so many things, so many doors and resources. It's hard to... It's hard to navigate. So, I mean, that sounds like a really great event. What do you got going on in the future? Any future events coming up or anything down the road?
Oh, what a great question. So our Chickenomics book that we're doing right now is focused on smart women finish rich. But the next thing we want to do, the next moment of focus, is that we want to actually focus on parenting and money. And so the next big event we're going to have, we have a couple coming up, but another one that people have asked about is real estate. Buying real estate, saving for it, managing it, and then alternative vehicles for investing in real estate. So there are a lot of really interesting things and opportunities we have, but parenting is a really big one. It's a big one for me, and it's a big one for a lot of people in the group.
What's the best piece of advice that either you have received or have given to somebody?
Oh, man. Never buy a new car.
Good advice.
Yeah, buy one that's like 2 years old because it drops in price once you drive it off the lot. That's a good one. Another is max out your 401k matching. So even if you can't pay for, you know, the entire 10%, you can't set that aside, or 15%, Cisco matches up to 4.5%. You match all the way to that 4.5%. Another was invest in college savings early and often, because then it just grows. If you're going to invest in stocks, don't invest a lot and invest in what you know. So like I have a couple of stocks and that are individual stocks. Most of my portfolio is in mutual funds, but the ones I've picked have done pretty well. The two main ones that I picked, I really felt strongly about the value they offered to me. That's another one. But as you start to get into stock investing, don't throw everything at it. There are a lot of things that I've learned and things I've learned from the group. I invested in the employee stock purchase program for the first time yesterday. I've never done that in a year and a half. Because, thank you. I'm so excited. Because I learned from the group, right? Like I have invested in things and changed the way I do things. I've been served by the group. It's not just me moderating or facilitating. It's me learning and applying those learnings as well. So it really is like the gift that gives back.
I love that. So as we're kind of coming up on our time for today, let's kind of leave off with that growth mindset. Obviously, you've had so much success. It's been, less than 6 months that the space has been around. What are your hopes for the space as you continue to grow and move forward? Where do you hope to see it in a year?
Well, you know, what's interesting is I'm meeting this week with the Pride ERO, the employer organization dedicated to advocacy for our LGBTQIA plus community. And I want to use the space to raise awareness about equity across all different genders and cultures. I want the space to be able to address and enlighten people about how finance is not only personal. There's a tremendous amount of racism and bias in finance and discrimination, and to equip those populations that are more vulnerable or need additional guidance in how to navigate that. So that's one thing. I really want it to become more equitable. Another thing that I'm hoping that we can do is continue to partner with experts in really empower people with not only the presentations that we do with the events, but the resources we need to move the needle. It's about empowering and equipping, and that partnership piece is really critical. And so those are really two of the big things that I want to do. We're automating a bunch of stuff. We're going to go and use AI and use data analytics, and we're going to use auto tags to pull in information and create RSS feeds. So we have our platform that gives information and automatically tags for each of the different stages and topics. And you can use our SharePoint page and you can get emails that we're going to push out. And there's so many things on the horizon. We want it to be more interactive and serve people more easily. So there's a lot coming. That was a long answer to a short question, but there's so much potential, and we are all, the entire volunteer team is so excited for the potential impact on you, Madison, and you, Javier, and the generations to come.
Well, very cool. For those within Cisco, be sure to check out the Chickenomics team space, the WebEx, and also keep an eye out for their SharePoint, which will be launching soon. If you are not a Cisconian, be sure to check out your own works, I guess, financial benefits. And if they're not that great, hey, we do have a link in our description to apply for jobs here at Cisco. So check that out if this conversation has spurred some exciting feelings as you've listened to it. So thank you again, Annie, so much for joining us today. Javier, I'll let you take us out.
No, absolutely. Amazing work. Great to see this fantastic community. And that's just very emblematic of the Cisco culture, right? Of being yourself, authenticity, collaboration, etc. So until next time, we look forward to seeing you all on the podcast. Y'all have a wonderful rest of your day. You've been listening to the We Are Cisco podcast with Javier Tirado Montero and Madison Setness. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen and leave a like if you enjoyed today's session.
You can keep up with us by following We Are Cisco on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and Cisco on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening.